Pastor David Coleman here. I'm so glad today that you've tuned in to watch this program. Happy Father's Day. You know, God is so good to us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we should not perish but have everlasting life, because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, the Bible says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we might be called the sons of God. So take time today to love on the Father and let him know how much you appreciate him. I'm going to be preaching a message in just a few moments out of Isaiah chapter number 44. He says that I will pour water upon him that is athirst and floods upon the dry ground. Think about this. This is where God promises us that he will bring our children from far. Maybe today you have a son or daughter on this Father's Day that needs to come back home, that needs to make a turnaround in life. Get your faith stirred up. We're going to get into the Word of God, and I believe that God in heaven today is going to reach out and save and heal and deliver our children, and I believe today that you're going to be encouraged. So let's go into that service in just a few moments. But right now, I want to give you a personal invitation. Here on July the 27th and 28th, we're going to be having Perry Stone. What a great time we're going to have. We're going to have great praise and worship, and then we're going to have the Word of God. I know that Perry has some encouraging things to tell us about the end times and also even warnings. So you want to be in these services. You don't want to miss this. July 27th at 7 p.m. and also July 28th, two powerful services, 10:30 a.m. and then that evening at 6 p.m. here at the Harvest Worship Center, Patrick Springs, Virginia. So come on out, come early, get a good seat. We're going to have a great time in the Lord with Perry Stone, July the 27th and 28th here at the Harvest Worship Center. Well, let's go live into that worship service now, where God is going to move upon you and stir up your faith to believe God that prodigals are coming home.
Israel, and he takes care of us that have been grafted in. Amen. He's a good, good father. So happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Stand with me, please. Father, we invite your presence into this place. Bless all those who have come today to hear the word. Bless all the fathers. Give them just a passion and more strength and more wisdom to know how to raise this generation up in your for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen.
I just want to tell one little quick thing. It's not but about 3 hours long. But we were talking about Vacation Bible School. She was talking about what she could remember. I can remember going when I was probably about 8 or 9 and that down to Pentecostal Holiness Church that my mom and dad went to. But anyhow, they asked me to sing a song. I'd never been to one before or anything like that. So I got up and I said, "Please help me, I'm falling in love with you." They were saying, that's enough. Because, you know, holding his people back then were real strict. It's like, where'd this kid come from?
But let me finish the other line. Close the door to Bentation.
Yeah, Bentation.
That's what he said. Don't let me walk through.
Yeah, don't Bentation. Let me walk through.
Don't.
Yes, Lord.
Who wreaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would. Oh, you've done for me. All that you've done for me, Lord. Who brings the chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of all kings.
Hands up to him right now. You know, the Bible says the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. In the middle of the chaos and the void and the darkness, you know, when God speaks, when his Holy Spirit moves upon us, when he comes, see, when he comes, he brings light. And he brings life. Tell him right now, say, Lord, I love you, Lord. Say, I love you, Jesus.
As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Stone us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. us. Come rest on us. Oh, come now, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you will move. And I'm here and I know you will feel me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you will move. And I'm here and I know you will feel me. Come rest on us.
we're going to just love on him just a few moments. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Stories that have proved your faithfulness. I've seen miracles my mind can comprehend. There is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. The wonder-working God, the wonder-working God. To not believe, to wonder-working God, and you heal because you love all the miracles we see.
And you heal because you love all the fear.
just say he's too good to not believe. Come on. We've seen cancer disappear. We've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen families reunited. We've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen troubled souls delivered. We've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen sinners in a revival and salvation flood the street.
Fear and all anxiety.
Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Oh, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus. Said on this earth, only God literally knows. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when I'm happy, Jesus when I'm sad, Jesus. Amen.
Come on, yeah, praise Him this morning. Somebody say, the name of Jesus is above every name. God has highly exalted Him. His name is above every principality, every power, every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. What a great God that we serve. Somebody say, what a great God. What a great God. Amen. We were talking about this back there. You can be seated. We were talking about there back there this morning that we need to remember our Father in heaven so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, behold what manner of love the Father has shed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. How many are glad this morning that you can be called a son of God? Amen. Amen. Give your Father in heaven another praise today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We say Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Glory to God. How many fathers do we have in the room? Raise your hand. We want you to stand up this morning. Give these fathers a hand clap today. We would like for all the fathers to come. We have a gift for you today. You know, if you'll come up, a pen and a compass, if you come down and we get one of those, please. Come on, just step out where you're at. Don't be shy. We got you a compass so you can find your way back home. And a pen so you can sign your wife's checks.
Amen. Thank you for these fathers. Thank you for these fathers today. Hallelujah. Bless these fathers. Bless these fathers. So we got Travis and Mike and Barry, all of these guys up here. Want to get a amen. Got to have one for Ronnie Owens back here. Anybody else? Happy Father's Day.
Yes, there is somebody else. Yes. Happy Father's Day to you. Thank you for all you do. And all of this is yours.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's enough clapping. Y'all can sit back down. Amen. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
And anybody that didn't get theirs, just get it when you come off the stage. I know y'all have got another song to do. But and if there's any extra left over, if you're going to see your dad and he's not here today, please take him a pen and a compass, okay? All right. Now, the ushers, if you'll come, we're going to receive tithe and offering. You men didn't shop like the ladies did when they come.
The bees gave me a Father's Day gift yesterday on my hand, so it's real swole this morning. I said, just because of that, y'all having a funeral tomorrow. So we're going to get rid of all the bees. Anybody wants to come to see the bees die? Come on out. Not letting them get away with it. Praise God. Oh, Lord, I try to do this song every Father's Day, and you know, because it reminds me, it speaks about growing up and, you know, and dad and all those things. I know every one of us have a good memory that we can talk to about our father. Maybe you don't, but I know you have a good memory about him. But there was something my dad used to tell me all the time. This is his favorite saying: boy, you got it made. Boy, you got it made. Every daddy ought to look at their son or daughter and say, boy, you got it made. Girl, you got it made. Amen. And, you know, because you don't realize it, you know, when you're growing up, because you think, yeah, right, you know, and I have to slop the hogs. I've got to go feed the chickens. I've got to do this and I got to do that. And I don't have it made. But then you find out when you get a little bit older that you did have it made. Somebody say, yes, that's right. Because it's like, you know, you can't wait to graduate school. You can't wait to get 18. You can't wait to get 21. But when real life hits you in the face, like, I got my first bill. I got payments to make. Everything changes. Somebody say, everything changes. Amen. But let's just enjoy this song.
rode down a familiar road just the other day. Pulled in the driveway where I grew up and played. House hadn't changed at all, still looked the same. Boy, I had it made. I remember Daddy, he would pick me up and take me for a ride in his old pickup truck. He'd look at me with a big old smile and say, boy, you've got it made. You got it made. Oh, you may not understand it now, but one day you will. For your memories and dreams will bring you back to here. And you know you had it made. Oh, yeah, you had it made. Oh, you had it made. Yeah, you had it made. 16 had a Mustang on my heart. You know my daddy signed for me to get that car. He smiled at me, and as he handed me the keys, he said, boy, you got it made. You got it made. See, you may not understand it now, but one day you will. Oh, your memories and dreams that bring you back to here, and you'll know you had it made. Yes, you had it made. Oh boy, you had it made. Yeah, you had it made. Oh, you had it made. He's gone, he's in heaven today. I know it's true, I was there when he prayed. Now, Dad, I just gotta say, you've got it made. Oh, Dad, you've got it made. And I understand it now, oh, those words you said to me. For my memories and dreams, they brought me back today. And Dad, I had it made. Oh, Dad, I had it made. But Dad, you've got it made with Jesus. Oh, Dad, you've got it made. Oh, Dad, we've got it made in Jesus. Oh, Dad, we've got it made. Oh, we've got it made.
Amen.
His Grammy Song of the Year goes to David Coleman. I love that song. I love his song he wrote for his mom, too. He's a good writer. Okay, we have something else we need to do. The oldest dad that's here. How, are you 90? 85? 80? Bobby Dalton, come down front. You get a billfold, beautiful billfold. I mean, that thing is beautiful. That's a beautiful wallet, isn't it? It is. You deserve it. Now, the youngest dad. 12? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. 15? No, I'm just kidding. How about 20? 21? 22? 23? 24? 25? Come on down. Get your wallet. It's a beautiful wallet. Good job. It's a beautiful wallet. I think you'll like that. Good to have you with us, Caleb.
No money in the wallet.
Yeah, that's the downside.
Amen. My goodness. Woo. Let's go ahead and stand up together, give you another chance to stretch out a little bit. On this Father's Day. And let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter number 41. Isaiah chapter 41. You know, my intention today is to encourage you as a father and a mother. I mean, you can't have Mother's Day without fathers, and you can't have Father's Day without mothers, and et cetera, et cetera. And so we will be addressing actually both today, as well as focusing on the fathers. And so we just bless our fathers today and pray that God would just open the heavens over you and pour his presence and spirit and power out upon your life and give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, especially in this day and hour, in the raising of children. Isaiah chapter number 41. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. What a promise. What a promise. I said, what a promise. What a promise. Let's read it one more time. Starting with verse 1, 44. Amen. What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. You should be scholarly enough to know where to turn anyway. What's up? My God. Blame it on me. Isaiah 44. What did I say, 41? Isaiah 44. And for all of you that are watching live stream, it's Isaiah 44. And if you'd watched the intake, you'd have known that already. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. And I want to say to you this morning that I believe that you can claim the promise of God. It doesn't just have to be to Jerusalem, or doesn't have to just be to Jacob. It can be to anyone who belongs to the God of Jacob and to the God of Israel. Amen. Somebody say, all of his promises are true. They're yea and amen. Yea and amen. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Thank you, Father, for your word. We ask you today to come and touch our hearts and minds and grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will take this word, deposit it in people's hearts. We ask today, God, Lord, for your mighty hand to move, and that you will save and heal and deliver with an outstretched arm. You're the God of salvation. We pray today for every father. We ask you, Lord, to bless them greatly today. Let them be encouraged. Let them have vision. Let their hearts be set afire, Lord, by your presence. Father, we pray for every mother. We ask you to touch her as well. Father in heaven, we ask today for an open heaven and that your name will be glorified. Cause every word to come forth accurately and boldly as you'd have it to come forth. Father, in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Everybody say prodigals are coming home. Prodigals are coming home. I know that we all like to hear stories that bring instant gratification. Everybody likes that, don't you? Stories that bring instant gratification that make you feel good. And there's some things that seem instantly gratifying in life, you know, that happen for us and that happen for our children especially. And we're talking about fathers today as well as mothers and rearing families and so forth. And you think about the things that are instantly gratifying to us, that labor, the labor that pays off for us, like your child's first score in sports. Most of us can remember those things. The first car, the first date, the first prom, you know, the first job, when they leave to go to college, their first promotion, buying the first home. The first child being born. These are all positives in life because all of us like and love to see those things happen. I don't think there's ever been a person on the face of this earth that hasn't wanted to see their children prosper and to see them blessed of God. But there can also be decisions that our children can make that can bring pain, can bring heartache, shame, sadness, and suffering. You know, in our lives. We don't dare ask for those things, but they happen in life because that's why there are prodigals. And there can be the turning from everything that they have ever been taught, almost doing a 180 degree turn and moving in the opposite direction. Going to do that which makes no sense, and it causes a heart crushing. For the parents, it's a blow to the faith. It brings shame. I know this is heavy stuff. Yet, the love that we have for our children anchors us to believe the vision that God has shown us for them. Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 6. Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it is old, it will not depart from it. The Message translation says it like this. Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they will not be lost. The Passion translation says, dedicate your children to God and point them in the way that they should go. And the values they've learned from you will be with them all their life. See, this is the inescapable power of putting the seed of God's word into the heart of our children. It is incorruptible. It is filled with life. It produces after its kind. And it'll never return void. See, there's something about being made in the likeness and the image of God concerning us. For God never gives up on his family. I can say this morning that the reason I'm here is because God didn't give up on me. The reason that you're here is because God did not give up on you. I can tell you that he is fighting on your behalf today. And I thought about this when I looked into the scripture because he pursued Adam in the garden when he fell. He made a covenant with Abraham to bring the promised seed into this world and move through 42 generations, bringing him to us as our Redeemer and our Deliverer from the power of sin and death. And I love the way that Paul says it in Galatians. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Man, I love that verse. And then in Isaiah chapter number 43, the Bible says, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now listen to what he says next. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. That's the name that he calls you by. Come on. You're not sorry. You're not an illegitimate. You're not a nobody. God has a name for you. Come on, God has a name for you. Listen, he didn't call you what people may call you. God has a name chosen for you. Come on now. Listen to what he says. I have called you by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I like that. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, it shall not kindle or burn you. I like this. Now listen, I want to take that promise and I want to claim that today. I want to claim it. Maybe just in a little bit different light than we think, because I'm thinking about my children. Thinking about your children. Come on. He said, I have redeemed you, but I want to tell you this, that he has redeemed them. He's paid the price. Listen, listen. Even though our children may pass through the waters, come on, troubles. Even though they go into the rivers, or the rivers come against them, the things that are meant to sweep them away and take them away, they shall not overflow them. Even though they walk through the fire and the enemy would like to consume and destroy them and devastate their lives, the Bible said they shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. See, what he's telling us, that there is no destructive power of hell that can prevail over our children when we're praying for them. And I want to tell you, how many are the redeemed of the Lord this morning? Listen to me. Say, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed. My God. See, they may walk in many areas that seem that they will never come back from. But God says, the waters, the floods, the fire, the barren wilderness cannot have your offspring. Come on. That's a good place to praise him. And Isaiah goes on to say, For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel thy Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for you, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, a people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that calls on my name. For I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. What a promise. What a promise. So what is God saying? I know he's talking about Israel, but listen, he's talking about our children too. Even though they may go far and distant, God is saying, I will bring them back. I believe the Holy Spirit right now is speaking to the north and the south and the east and the west. And then he's saying, you give up the sons and the daughters that belong to the people of God. You get your hands off of them in Jesus' name. You deliver them up. And then in Isaiah 44 and 1, our scripture that we read this morning, Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen, for thus saith the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I'm chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Man, I love this scripture because, number one, do you know why? You know why sons and daughters go out into a far place? It's because they're thirsty. It's because they're searching for something that's going to fulfill. Do you know why God says that I will pour floods upon the dry ground? It's because he understands that they're searching for a fulfillment and a satisfaction on the inside that only he can give. And so God gives a direct promise to us. He says, I'm going to pour water upon the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit out upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. And they shall spring us up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. And when you read that scripture, you say to yourself, Jacob was an unlikely candidate. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a con man. He was a deceiver. And in Isaiah 43 and 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel. God said, I created Jacob. The word create here simply means I chose him. And I cut him down. I selected him. This is what God is saying. To transform him into something new. I like that. You know what God is telling us this morning? He's saying, look, I created Jacob. He said, your child might be born and come into this life through you, but you understand one thing. He was in heaven before he got here. She was in heaven before they got here. They may be alive and on the face of this earth and may not be doing what they're supposed to be doing, but understand this, God says. I created Jacob. I created them. And what's he say? I really chose them. And I'll be the one that has, I have selected them, and I want you to understand, I'm going to transform them into something new. It comes from the same word as in Genesis chapter number 1, where the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning, because if you were to come up on creation at the time that God was speaking, do you know what you would do as a human? You would say, there is no way that anything is going to come out of this. It's dark, it's void, it's messed up, it's destroyed, and nothing can ever come out of these ashes. But I'm going to tell you this morning what God says. He says, oh yes, it will. Because I'm going to make something new out of it. Just watch what I do. Because he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And with him and through him all things were made. And without him was nothing made that was made. In him's life, you better believe today that when he speaks that Word into that chaotic void life of sons and daughters, and even moms and dads, that God is going to bring something new out of everything that everybody else says. Ain't no way that that's going to come about. It cannot happen. They're too far gone on drugs. They're too far gone on prostitution. They're too far gone into an immoral lifestyle. They're too far gone into unbelief and doubt. They're too far gone to ever be touched. I'm going to tell you what God says. God says, that's exactly who I'm looking for. That's the one that I chose. That's the one that I'm going to put my name upon. That's the one that I'm going to select. Come on, somebody. He calls things that be not as though they were. Come on. Jacob, who was a trickster and a deceiver and a liar, God took Jacob and he formed him into Israel. Mm-hmm. I formed you. This word formed is interesting because it comes from the word that means to squeeze into shape, to mold. Especially as a potter. Mm-hmm. You know what some of us need to do? Just take our children and throw them into the hands of the potter. Say, squeeze them, Jesus. Squeeze them, Jesus. Mold them, Jesus. Come on now, listen. It means to frame, to preordain. This is kind of spooky when you get into some of this stuff. It means to purpose. See, God is the one that wrote the DNA strand. He placed within your DNA all that you are to be. Come on now. Sin marred it, distorted it, disfigured it, brought dysfunction into it. But listen, God says, I am going to put my hand on it because I'm the great potter. You think it's messed up and you think it's torn all to pieces, but you watch me put it back together again because I'm going to take your son and daughter. I'm going to bring them from afar. Come on. I'm even going to reach out and get your offspring. I'm going to bring them from afar. I want to tell you that it's not only your son or daughter that's going to be born again, but I'm a God that says that I'm going to reach down the family line and I'm going to save every grandchild, great-grandchild, great-grandchild, and I'll make hell wish that it never put its hand on what belongs to you. You are mine, God says. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. God says that the earth needs to understand right now and the church needs to understand. We said this 10,000 times. There are so many heart-rending, heartbreaking stories. If you go on the Prodigals network and you find out about us, all of a sudden they do a 180-degree turn. People that were spoken tongues, people that loved Jesus, young people that came to the altar and prayed, led youth groups, and even preached the word, all of a sudden turned around and went 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And there's heartbreak. Broken mothers and fathers that are praying and crying out to God. But I can tell you that right now that there are myriads of testimonies that are coming in, that the power of God's saving grace is reaching out into those lifestyles, into the brokenness and into the shatteredness of their life, and he's turning them around. What's he doing? He's saying north, south, east, and west, give up those sons and daughters. Give them up that belong to my people in Jesus' name. Listen, Psalm 139, verse 16. Thine eye did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book are all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, whereas yet there was none of them. The correct version of this verse is this. At the moment of conception, all of our substance, all of our members are recorded in the book of our DNA. When as yet there was none of them, in continuance of that, they are fashioned and formed. He's literally saying, God sees and records our DNA. He encodes it. The words that they use in the translation, being unperfect, listen to me, being unperfect simply mean not in its completed form. Satan knows how to distort the DNA code. He knows how to come in and suggest things into it like he did for Adam and Eve in the garden. But you better believe that God knows how to make it complete. Because your Bible says that we are incomplete people, but in Christ we are made complete in him. Come on now. Jesus is the missing piece to our DNA code. The moment that a person cries out to them, and I've heard people down through the years cry out to God that you would think, my God, but nothing's changed. And then years later to see them turned around and standing in the house of God and giving glory and honor to him. See, what we need to understand this morning is this. Is that God is rewriting the DNA code for people that have been broken and shattered, and he's bringing them into the kingdom of heaven. Come on, somebody. You see, that place of unbrokenness, that place of wholeness is where we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. So wherever your son or daughter is today is not where they're going to be tomorrow. It may seem impossible, but God says all things are possible to those who will believe. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God is forming them. See, we may not understand it, but out of the middle of that drug shack where they're shooting up, God is fashioning and forming them. We may not understand it, even in the prostitution, God is squeezing them. Even in the immoral lifestyle, God is squeezing them. What's he doing? He's squeezing out of them everything that hell has put in them, and he's going to pour in his righteousness and his holiness. Come on, somebody. He's going to pour in his truth and bring change into their lives. He's going to mold them. Somebody say, he's going to mold them. And molding something is not an instant thing that happens. A potter doesn't make something in just a few seconds. It takes time to put them on the wheel and to squeeze it and to mold it and to bring it into the shape that it is supposed to be. God says, don't worry about it. Claim the promise. Mm-hmm. See, the process is different depending on the purpose and God's ordained will for them. Our Father in heaven has our best interest in hand. You hadn't got to touch it. Mom and Dad, you hadn't got to touch it. Your job is to claim the word. God, you said you would pour water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Lord, that you would bring my offspring in. You said that you would bring them from afar. You said that you would do it, God. Somebody said he said that he would do it. So our Father in heaven has our best interest at heart. He's fighting for us. He's fighting for our families. He's fighting for our children. We have to learn to just trust him and allow his mighty hand to work because he never, never fails. So how should we respond to situations like that? So you know I'm going to Luke 15. And we read the story. Listen to that. A certain man had two sons. The younger said to the father, divide unto me the portion of goods that falls to me. My inheritance. I want it now. The younger of the two sons. And so the father, the Bible said, divided to his sons their inheritance. And then the Bible says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. He had this in his heart. See, this is what I want you to understand. Is that God's plan will override the enemy's plan. God's DNA code will write out the enemy's DNA code. Somebody say, my God is going to change things up. Now listen to this. So this younger son was already listening to the enemy. That's what happens to people because it doesn't matter what the parents may say, what you've taught them, poured into them, or none of those things because we have no idea how the enemy may be working behind the scenes. I was listening to, I think it was a young lady's testimony the other day, and she said that when she was in kindergarten, the devil began to speak to her and tell her, you know, that she wanted to be with other women at that age. And so she entered into that lifestyle. The thing about it is that God reached into that situation and turned it around, and she got a beautiful testimony now about how much that she loves Jesus, and she no longer lusts after another woman. She just loves Jesus, loves Jesus, loves Jesus. See, we have no idea what our kids may be wrestling with or going through that they'll never share with us. We think that they tell us everything, but we don't even understand some of the stuff that they won't share with us because they don't want. Listen to me. They don't want to be shamed in your sight. They don't want you to look down on them and say, well, I'm wrestling with this, I'm wrestling with that. This stuff's going through my head. This younger of the sons already had this battle going on the inside of him. So when he came to daddy and said, daddy, divide unto me the portion of goods that falls to me. He already knew right then that I'm going to be leaving here in a few days and I'm going to go do what I want to do the way I want to do it. And nobody's going to tell me anything different. I can handle it. I'm going to have a good time and enjoy life. But I'm going to get out from under this. My God, I think I'll just come down there and preach. Because sin is a far country. A few days later, he took his journey into a far country. And you know what he did? He took all that wealth that his father had raised over the years and that his father had just divided to both of them. He took all that wealth and he went down into that far country and he made a lot of friends with all of his money. One translation says he wasted it on prostitutes. And when you begin to read the language of what he's saying there, he said he partied until he couldn't party anymore. He was a party animal. And so there he was in this far country, because sin always takes you further than you want to go. And it'll always take more from you than you're willing to give. And the thing about it is that most people don't understand what's going on in their life. That when they get out there and start doing that, is that hell is eating away at your life, taking your joy, taking your peace, taking your happiness. And he'll cause you to get in a dark place that you have never been before. But aren't you glad that in the midst of even all of that, that somebody's praying and believing God? And what's God doing? He said, I'm squeezing on them and I'm moving in their lives, that even in the midst of their backslidings, and even in the midst of them being in that far country of sin, even in the midst of all of that, there's something that keeps running through their mind. What is it? That is what you deposited in them as a child of God, as a parent, and put the word in their hearts. Train up a child in the way that it should go. When it's old, it'll come back to the right path. Because in the midst of sin, I remember when I was in sin, that when I was sinning, I was still thinking about Jesus could come. I kept thinking about, my God, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, you know, even in the midst of drinking and smoking, in the midst of all the other stuff, you know, the immoral stuff, even in the midst of all of that, I understood, man, you know, I can't even sin and have a good time. Because you always have this in the back of your mind. God is real. Jesus is alive. And he went and he wasted, the Bible says, wasted all of his substance on riotous living. Wow. Spent it all. Living it up. I mean, I can see him in the bars. I can see him at the dance. I can see him with all the people that claim to be his friends. I can see him with all the people that were patting him on the back as long as he was throwing the bill on the table to take care of the cost. But every time that he would buy them a drink, or every time that he would sin, Satan was taking another piece of his life away. But God still had his hand on him. Somebody say, God still had his hand on him. Oh, this is amazing right here. And the Bible said, then there arose a great famine in the land. And so when that famine came, he had already wasted all of his money, didn't have any. And so he went and joined himself to a citizen of the land, and he gave him a job feeding hogs. The most detestable place for a young Jewish man to be in. A hog pen. And the Bible said that when he was in that hog pen, when he hit rock bottom, I said when he hit rock bottom, we don't never know where the bottom's going to be. That's the thing about life. We never know where the bottom's at. I know where my bottom was. But we never know what the bottom is going to be for another person. But listen to me. Listen to me. He joined himself to that citizen. He started feeding the hogs. The Bible said that there was none of his friends around. Nobody to say, hey, man, you helped me when you had all that money. You helped me, so I'm going to help you. Nobody like that came along. Was it? No. Nobody came along. All your people that you partied with, you kind of looked for them. None of those guys are around. Say, hey, man, you shouldn't be in that pig pen. Let me spot you 50. You come to my house and stay with me. But you see, that's the way sin is, because sin wants you to think that it's going to be all right and that you're going to rise to the top and that you're just going to sail through life. But what the enemy doesn't tell you is that he really wants to destroy you. And so here this young man was. He was in that hog pen, and the Bible says he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the hogs did eat. Man, can you imagine being so hungry that you would pick an old corn husk up that had pig poop all over it and eat it? He was in that hog pen. And the Bible said, I love this. The Bible said that one day, as he was in that hog pen and he had that husk and he picked it up and he looked at it, the Bible said that he came to himself. That's what happened to that young girl. She came to herself. There was another young man, the old fire for God, come out of that lifestyle.
and says, I love Jesus more than anything. I've been free 9 months. And he said, I'm never going back to it again in Jesus' name. I am on fire for the Lord and I love Jesus. See, this young man was in that pig pen. He came to himself. He looked at that husk and he began to remember. He said, my God, when I was in my father's house, we had lamb, we had goat, we had anything that we wanted to eat, we had it made. I had a nice bed to sleep in. I mean, man, I was a son. Come on, I was a son. I was a son. And see, that's what the enemy does to those who are prodigals. It's because now you think that you no longer can be a son and you think that you can no longer be a daughter. But what you don't understand and can't see, that if somebody's praying for you, that God is squeezing your life. Why did that young man come to himself? Because somebody was praying, and the more they prayed, the more God squeezed. And God began to mold, and God began to shift, and God began to change things. And these thoughts began to come into this young man's mind. And he said, man, I had it made at my house. My daddy's servants have it better than I do right now. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. When he came to himself, he said, I'm going to go to my father, and I'm going to say, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But if you'll just take me on as a hired servant, I'll be satisfied. The Bible said that he got up out of that pig pen and went home, started toward home. What's happening for him? God was calling the offspring from far. God was pouring water upon him that was thirsty. God was pouring floods upon the dry ground. God was answering a promise call to a prodigal's father that was back home praying, that went every day and peered out the window to see if he was coming, because I believe he could hear his footsteps. Come on. I believe nobody walks like your son does. Nobody has the same footprint. Nobody can make the sounds that your child makes. And you better believe that this daddy knew what his son's footsteps sounded like. Every day he went out to look down that road as far as he could peer, day after day, nothing, nothing, nothing. Did he give up? No. And so this prodigal started toward home because somebody was praying for him. And see, this is God. He said, look, I created Jacob. I formed Israel. I created Jacob. His DNA code got marred. He was a liar and a cheater. But he met me at Bethel. Built an altar to me. His life got transformed. And he was changed from what? From being a shyster to a prince. Somebody say, my son and my daughter's about to become a prince or a princess. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. And so this young man starts home, and the Bible said that as he began to journey there, said the father went out and he looked down that same road. And I believe when he looked down that road that he saw that head of his son bobbing up and down on that path. And I can hear it now that the daddy says, ain't nobody that walks like that except number two. Number two son. He's the only one that walks like that. And when he saw him, the Bible said that he saw him coming at a distance. You see, that's the way it is with us when we pray. Because we know in our spirit, man, my son is coming home. My daughter is coming home. They're coming in the name of Jesus. God is calling my offspring from afar. There's nothing you can do, devil, to stop it. I want you to know that by God speaking to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west, and he's telling them to give up my sons and to give up my daughters, and they're coming. I don't care where they're at. I don't care if they're in China. I don't care if they're on the other side of the United States. I don't care what you have them involved in. They are coming home. Man, that young man was walking up through that. The daddy leaned over and he told his servants, he said, go kill the fatted calf. He said, because my son is coming home. He was dead, but yet he's alive again. Come on, somebody.
And so they went and killed the fatted calf. He said, get a ring and bring it and put on his finger. Get a robe and put on his back. Because this who was my son, who was lost, is now found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Come on, somebody. Your son and daughter that was dead is about to come to life. Come on, somebody. Your son and daughter that was lost is about to be found. They're coming home. Somebody say, they're coming home in Jesus' name. Shout that with me. Say, come home in Jesus' name. Come home in Jesus' name. I hear the footsteps. Somebody say, I hear the footsteps. Daddy could hear the footsteps in the spirit. I believe when he got down to pray, there was something on the inside that says, it's not going to be many days until number two is coming up that pathway. It's not going to be very many days until your son returns home. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is speaking to him and telling him. That's why Daddy went out and looked down the pathway, because lots of us are looking down the pathway for our sons and daughters to come home. And listen, just because you don't see their head bobbing up and down or see their footsteps headed your way, don't get discouraged, but understand God is in the squeezing process and molding them into what they're supposed to be. Come on, he's forming their lives like he did Jacob and turning him into Israel. My God. And when that son got there, he humbled himself. I can see this scene. It's so heart-rending. My God, the father runs to him, embraces his son. Because the son is thinking, my daddy's going to reject me. He doesn't want anything to do with me. My God, look at me. I still got pig poop all over me. I stink to high heavens. My clothing is nothing more than rags. And he said, my daddy probably won't even recognize me, want anything to do with me. But the daddy ran to where the son was, and he embraced him. And he said, you get that ring and you put it on his finger, and you get that robe and you put it on his back, because this my son who was lost is now found. My son who was dead is now alive. And they celebrated. And this son said this to his dad. He said, Daddy, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to even come into your house. Just let me be a hired servant. I'm going to tell you right now, God has no second-rate children. He has no stepchildren. We've all been adopted into the family of God this morning. We belong to him. His DNA is written in our spirit, man. Come on, somebody. We belong to him. Somebody say, I am his. That daddy didn't worry about what that boy smelled like. You know why? Because there's plenty of water in the house. And I'm going to tell you, there's plenty of water in the house. We get washed with the regeneration of the Holy Ghost coming into our lives. We're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Come on. We're cleansed through water baptism. We're cleansed in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I can say this to you this morning. If you feel unworthy, that's a lie out of hell. You're worthy because Jesus makes you worthy. You can be made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. He will not reject you, but he will draw you to himself. Somebody say, I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. My Jesus, Lord have mercy. In our scripture, I love this. I believe this is what God says to parents. Fear not. Fear not. For I will pour water upon him that's thirsty. That young man drank that water in that pig pen. Do you hear me? He was thirsty. It took him a while to get there, but he got thirsty. Somebody said, I don't want it to be 20 years. I don't want it to be 10 years. I'm saying turn up the heat in prayer. Say, God, my papa, put your hands on my son. Put your hands on my daughter and do some squeezing upon them. Send laborers across their path. Speak to them in an audible voice. Send the angels to get them out like you did Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. God, move upon them by your presence. Holy Spirit, draw them. Send laborers across their path. Lord Jesus.
He said, I will pour water upon him or her that is thirsty. I pour floods upon the dry ground. God is saying this. He said, look, in sin, the ground is so parched and cracked, it hasn't had a drop of water upon it forever. He said, but if you're praying, I'm going to make your son and daughter thirsty. And he said, I can guarantee you this. I'm going to make water come in such depths that it's going to be floods upon the dry ground. He said, they're not going to have any problem finding the water if you're praying for them and calling out to God. And so you know what the Holy Ghost is saying? Calling all prodigals to come home. Calling them from the north, south, and the east, and the west. Listen to this. Listen. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, and willow as willows among the watercourses. And one shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall say, I am called by the God of Jacob. God guarantees it. Amen. He guarantees it. I love what he told a Philippian jailer. When that jailer pulled out his sword to take his own life. Remember the story in Acts? After Paul and Silas had been set free in the prison. And so the soldier knew that he was going to die. He figured the other prisoners had escaped. But Paul said, do yourself no harm. We are all here. But now there's something else going on. Because when Paul and Silas started singing at midnight and all the doors came open in the prison, I believe a salvation revival broke out. I don't know about you, but if that prison door comes open, if I'd have been in that prison, I'd have stepped out and looked down the hall, see what's going on here, man. Everybody started drifting out in the hall. And Paul and Silas were up way up in the other part of the dungeon, and they were singing. Everybody started heading toward the voice. And when they got there, the soldier looked, and all the doors were open, and he saw the prisoners had fled their cells, but they hadn't left the prison. Come on. He started to take his life. Paul, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And that man said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thine house. Somebody say, and your house. And your house. See, God appreciates the fact that you're born again, but he said that's not enough, because I want your wife, I want your son, I want your daughter, I want your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and I want your children's 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 children and every generation to the past. He said the devil has no business with them and no claim upon their life, because you are the redeemed of the Lord, and you need to begin to lift up your voice and say, they are coming home in Jesus' name. Come on, stand up on your feet and give God some praise this morning. Come on, praise him. Come on up, Jennifer. Hallelujah. Our sons and daughters. Right now, I want you to think. Everybody knows that we're living in the end times. You would have to be totally illiterate of the word. But sinners understand. We're living in the last days. We're at the threshold of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look around us and see all the signs. But there has been a release from the pits of darkness against our sons and daughters to keep them from the God of heaven, to take them out. His heart's desire, the enemy's heart's desire, is to destroy, to kill, to steal. But Jesus desires to give life and to give it more abundantly. See, I believe this morning, that the Holy Ghost is saying this. Moms and dads, right now, come on up here, Deborah. See, we got skin in the game. We got skin in the game. Mom and dad, lock hands together. If you have a prodigal, God is saying to you today, I'm going to pour water upon him that's thirsty. I'm going to pour floods upon the dry ground. I'm going to bless your offspring. I'm going to bring them from afar. And so that's God's promise. So this is what I want us to do right now. I want you to say, Father, I want you to call their name. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I call right now, call their name. I call Austin from the north, south, east, and west. I call him in the name of Jesus out of the darkness into the light. Devil, get your hands off in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, pour water upon him that's thirsty. Pour floods upon the dry ground, upon our offspring. Bless it, Lord. And Father, we thank you right now for your salvation in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you like that prodigal son that they're coming home in Jesus' name. They're coming home in the name of Jesus. Now give God some praise for that this morning. Amen. I want every head bowed. Listen to me. You need to understand something about God. For God so loved the sinner, the world, that he gave his only begotten son to be crucified on a cross. Isaiah said it pleased the Father to bruise him. Do you understand how much love the Father has for you? He loves you. And maybe things right now are a mess. And you're thinking to yourself, I just don't think God loves me. I don't think God will have nothing to do with me. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Doesn't matter how far you've gone. Doesn't matter how far you've fallen. You're not going to fall any further than Adam took you. I can tell you that right now. You'll fall no further than Adam fell. But he will raise you up through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his life for you. He was beaten unmercifully, crucified on a cross, just so you could be forgiven. Just so that all the mistakes, all the stuff, all the bad decisions, all the things that make you feel worthless, all the things that make you feel that God will never accept you, I'm here to telling you, yes, he does. He didn't do that for the righteous. He didn't do it for the saved. He did it for the sinner. So that you could be born again, so that you could be saved, so that you could be forgiven. The Bible says if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right now, with every head bowed, if you're here today and you have the burden of sin in your life, if you're here today and you feel like it's impossible, that God can't love me, God can't forgive me, I'm telling you, yes, he will, and he does. I want you to step out from where you're at and meet me at this altar. And we will pray a prayer together. And Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness and from every sin stain. Step out from where you're at. Meet me at this altar right now. Step out. If you're here today, I want you to come in Jesus' name. I want you to come in Jesus' name. Step out. Oh, you don't know what I've done. You don't have any idea who I am. Doesn't matter. God's forming you. And God's making you into something beauty. The Bible says he gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. He does what's impossible. So let him take your hopeless situation and turn it around. Meet me at this altar. If you're here today and you need that sin washed away, you need to be cleansed, I want you to come in Jesus' name. Just meet me at the altar. I'll meet you right here. I'll meet you right here. Step out. Holy Spirit. Pray, church. Pray in the Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit tugging. I feel Him tugging. I feel Him tugging. Meet me at this altar. Come on. I know there's more. Just obey that voice today that's speaking to your heart. Obey that voice. God wants to give you a hope. He wants to give you a future. He wants to bring transformation and change. Just meet me at the altar.